Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 78 of season 3 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Brian Lockhart of Hamilton Shot by Shot. Welcome back, Brian.
Eat your heart out, Movies by Minutes.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Just make sure that nobody from the West German Volksfreie movement is following what you're doing here.
No kidding, we've been kicked out. Even if we're no longer with
you've been expelled. You've been expelled.
I'm gonna be, if I keep it up, I'm gonna be expelled from the Movies by Minutes group. So
nah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Jim likes us.
Yeah, he needs us as fill-ins for when we do the group projects.
Yeah, I always volunteer, but he hasn't needed my help yet. But but yours, I know he got a lot of. So
I made myself extra available.
There you go. That worked. All right. Why not? Why not? Well, by the way, for anyone who's curious as to what we're talking about, we're talking about 2 months ago. We finished up the fifth group project from the Movies by Minute community, which was Silverado Minute. You can go over and find that. Just do a quick search for Silverado Minute, and you can listen to all 130 episodes, I think, something like that. Sure. We finished it. We're all now preparing for the next one, for the sixth collaborative project, which am I allowed to say what it is? What do you think?
I think it's already been announced, right? It's both.
It's been announced for us, but you know,
there you 2 months from now it'll be out. It's fine.
Yeah, that's right. It's Bowfinger. So anyone who's interested, you know, get your cue ready to start listening to many groups of us talking about Bowfinger. Mm-hmm. You know, so. All right, so minute 78 begins with the SWAT guys running back to base amidst the smoke, and ends with Al making a joke. So yesterday we ended the minute with lots of smoke coming out of the Nakatomi building, and this minute begins right afterwards, where we get to see numerous SWAT guys, you know, running across. Now, what's really funny is if you take a look, and if you paid attention earlier in the movie, we can actually see who the two SWAT guys are that are running. Are you able to notice any of them?
I didn't pay much attention other than the fact that they were running.
Right. So at least the way they look, one of them looks like the guy who got you know, pricked by the rose bush.
Okay.
And the second one is another guy who last week when we were talking about him, I kept mentioning about the fact that he looks like he's really out of shape and, you know, huffing and puffing along as he's going. Does not look like your typical SWAT guy. Now, apparently one of the extras probably, you know, called in sick. They had to just grab some guy from the crew and say, okay, put this on and pretend that you're a SWAT guy. And he's like, oh, I'm not in shape. And they're like, yeah, no one knows. No one's going to be doing a Movies by Minute project of this 34 years from now. Don't worry about it. No one will even notice you. You're just going to go by really quickly. But we caught them. And, you know, at this point, we see the guys in the police command center. You know, you have Powell, and then you have the SWAT guy, and you have the guy who will play Ricky in Die Hard 3, and obviously Dwayne T. Robinson. So the guy who plays Ricky in Die Hard 3, he's known here as Young Cop. That's his credit. So they slowly like raise their heads from after they were hiding behind the car, and Robinson gets to express everyone's feeling by going, holy.
It's a good line. It's a good delivery. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, and he does a great job he's really assessing the situation really well. No question about that. And we get a shot of the RV, which is no longer on fire. Do you have an explanation as to why?
The blast must have blown out the flames. That's what I'm going with.
Apparently, but you can also see what looks like a helmet. So is that a corpse?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
And actually, it looks like maybe there's a guy on the ground there also, or is that just the equipment? I don't know. There's something on the right hand side on the ground there at the bottom of those steps, which could be another body. Don't know. That's yeah, don't know. And I mean, again, there's tons of smoke coming out of this building, and they start panning up, and it really looks ominous. And then as they're panning up, the shot changes, and then we get a close up, or we get a shot that turns into a close up of Thornburg. And we see behind him a woman who's very scared on his right, but our left. And then you see the cameraman who's playing around with the focus on his camera, or maybe he's zooming in or something like that. And at this point, Thornburg goes, "My God, tell me you got that." And the cameraman goes, "I got it. I got it." And he goes, "Eat your heart out, Channel 5.
That's great.
So if it, you know, his station is Channel 4. So basically, you know, it's a great line, but it made me wonder, you know, like what is, you know, I didn't grow up in LA, so I couldn't tell you what the channels were.
Right.
But like, is Channel 5, are they making a comment about that Channel 5 is a great channel, and therefore, you know, they should have gotten this type of thing? Like, is it an in joke for people in LA who would know what Channel 5 is? You know, it would be like them saying, you know, if you were to say eat your heart out HBO, then everyone would say, okay, I understand, or eat your heart out CNN, that type of thing. You know,
I mean, it's possible, but I always just assume it was like, just, you know, we're Channel 4, they're Channel 5. I mean, literally, they could have said Channel 6 news team from like Anchorman. Just in my opinion, like that's just, they're using, I never looked at it any more than just one of their rival channels. They got something up on them.
But right. Maybe for sure. The question is there something, you know, embedded in the thing? So, I mean, I wasn't able to find the channels from 1988. I was able to find what the channels are today, you know, and Channel 4 is KNBC, which is the NBC channel, and Channel 5 is KTLA, which is currently the CW. So
no.
it would make more sense if it was the opposite. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure it wasn't the CW back then.
Yeah. So KTLA was actually bought in 1964 by Gene Autry. Oh, and funny. He bought it for $14 million. And in 1983, he sold it for $245 million.
Wow, good investment.
Yes, I would say that's a very good investment. And KNBC is no longer known as, it's now just officially NBC, but the you know, they have to have the FCC registration, which has the extra letter, so that's still K.
Mm.
But on TV itself, it is used only, they just use the NBA, NBC on that.
Yeah.
And so I mentioned about Channel 5. So it was actually, before it was bought up by the WB network in 1995, KTLA Channel 5 was one of the leading independent TV stations in the nation, which is why I do assume that he's making a jab at them.
Oh, that makes sense.
That this isn't just something they threw in there. You know, it's something that makes sense. Where he says, you know, eat your heart out, Channel 5.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
Yeah. And at this point, we get a very grainy shot of TV footage, which is the way they do the transition is great. Because, you know, we see the cameraman shooting, and then we just, the shot changes, and it's a grainy photo of SWAT guys. And, you know, we're listening to the news. We have Gail Wallins, who rejoins us. Do you know who plays Gail Wallins? Have you recognized her?
I recognize her. I didn't look her back up, but is she the psychiatrist from Lethal Weapon?
Yes, she is.
Okay, that's I've been watching a lot of those the Lethal Weapon movies a lot in the last maybe year, and so I was like, I'm pretty sure that's her. Right. I know she's been in other things, but that's
right. This Mary Ellen Trainer, who she passed away in 2015. We've already talked about her a little bit, but she was married to Robert Zemeckis for like 20 something years before they got divorced. Okay. So she was in Romancing the Stone. She was in the Lethal Weapon movies. She was in the Goonies. She played the mother in the Goonies.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. She was in Forrest Gump. She was in Back to the Future. No, sorry. She was in Back to the Future 2.
Yeah. I was trying to think.
Yeah. Sorry. She was in Back to the Future 2. She was in Scrooged.
Yes. Yeah.
And just like Viggo the Carpathian, she's also in Ghostbusters 2. She plays the brownstone mother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but her best credit is that she's also in Ricochet, and her credit is Gail Wallins.
Ah, all right. Nice.
So she gets they show that this movie and Ricochet take place in the same universe.
Ah, nice.
Apparently. You know.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Great little thing.
So she starts giving a little bit of her report. She says, "We've had an update on the terrorist takeover in the Nakatomi building. Sources say the terrorist leader, Hans, maybe this man, Hans Gruber," and then they show a picture of him on the screen. We'll talk about the picture in a second. "A member of the radical West German Volksfrei movement. Strangely, the Volksfrei leadership issued a communique an hour ago stating that Gruber had been expelled from that organization." So this whole segment is very strange to me, because the last time we saw Gail Wallins, you know, everyone in the station didn't care about what's going on in Nakatomi. You know, that was the 10 o'clock news. They didn't mention anything about the terrorist takeover of the Nakatomi building. So, you know, now she's saying we have an update. So I guess that means that Thornburg actually finally got a report in at some point.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it makes sense, but it's just something that feels missing from the way it is. Now, I checked the West German Volksfrei movement, and that is not a real group.
Shocking.
Yes, it is. It's apparently based on a real group. It's inspired by the real life left wing socialist terrorist organization, the Bader-Meinhof Group, from Germany. So that makes sense. So let's get into the picture of Hans Gruber. What did you notice about this picture that looks very strange?
Well, he's clearly younger. I thought his hair, I mean, obviously his hair and his beard look different, but other than that, I didn't think much of it. I just assumed it was probably an old picture of Alan Rickman that they used, you know, from something.
Well, did you notice what he's doing in this picture?
No, I guess I didn't put a lot of focus on it.
He's holding a coffee cup. He's holding a coffee mug.
It was like he's walking or something. You know, like,
yeah, that's what I always thought. I always thought he was walking, and now I just paid attention to the picture. He has a coffee mug in his hand. There is a coffee urn on the side of him. There are coffee cups, whatever. So apparently they took this picture, you know, at the craft table at some point, you know. They're like, hey, why don't you just go over there for a few minutes, Alan? We want to take a few shots of you, you know, while you're drinking your coffee, while you're holding your coffee. I mean, I find it funny that that's the picture they're going to show on the news of a terrorist. Let's show a picture of him drinking coffee.
Yeah, maybe it's meant to be like they captured him coming at, you know, at a coffee house. You know, it's like one of the few known, you know, photos of a known terrorist that usually are in hiding or something. So they have to use this weird grainy photo of him having a coffee. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very weird, you know, the whole thing. And then the whole thing with the Volksfrei movement of them issuing a communique. Now, this isn't, this is not a terrorist act. So why would Hans tell a terrorist group that he was part of that I'm about to go do a terrorist act in LA? You know, there had to have been a reason for them to issue this communique.
Well, I think they're serious when they say he's been kicked out of the group. He was probably doing his own thing, or even too radical for them, or whatever. And so they're like, look, he's claiming, you know, like, you, we know that you guys probably know he's part of our, or group, or was, and he's claiming to be doing this terrorist activity, you know, for not money reasons, but for like political reasons. And they want to come quick out and be like, do not come hard down on us for this act. We didn't do it. And I we've seen stuff like that happen in the past when a like a terrorist act would happen. And sometimes like one of the known terrorist groups are like, well, it wasn't us. We're not taking credit for it. You know, and other times terrorist groups would take credit. Maybe they didn't actually have anything to do with it, you know. So
correct. But, just, but again, how would the Volksfreund movement know that this is a plan by Hans Gruber?
I see what you're saying. Like they don't know who the culprit is.
Exactly.
So yeah. So how would they know? And I don't know. Maybe that's a good point. That's a little bit of a, if they had done the report first and then they followed up with a, hey, we just got a statement from this group, it would have made more sense, I think.
Yeah.
But I think they're just throwing it all in now for the sake of brevity, probably.
Yeah, it could be. Right. No, but also it's possible that because, you know, it was on the 10 o'clock news, and again, we don't know what time it is now. Maybe now it's 11 o'clock, or maybe right. Maybe it's even midnight at this point, because Thornburg has already been set up there and stuff like that. But maybe at some point in the news, they mentioned that the terrorist leader's name is Hans. And then, you know, the people in the Volksfire said, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
Maybe this is Gruber, and we're going to say that we have nothing to do with it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Have you ever heard the name Gruber beforehand?
No.
So Gruber. I mean, I've always referred. You know, the only reference I've had of a Gruber was Hans Gruber.
Right.
So it's a common German surname from Austria and Bavaria, and it refers to a person from a geological depression, mine, or pit. It is the most common surname in Austria.
Oh.
Okay. And they have
Smith.
Yeah. And they have a whole list of people named Gruber here that I found. I found there must be at least 50 people on this list that that are named Gruber. I'm obviously not going to go into all of them. I was trying to see if there's any that would you know, stick out among the others. I mean, there's a I think there was like a composer named Franz Gruber was a composer of Silent Night.
Oh,
he lived from 1787 to 1863. There's a Western and detective fiction writer named Frank Gruber. There are two army generals who are brothers, Edmund Gruber and William Gruber.
There's also Mick Gruber too, right?
Is there a Mick Gruber? There are two Michael Grubers. Were you making a joke?
Yes.
I didn't catch it.
Mick Gruber. Yeah, isn't it the Saturday Night Live guy that's supposed to be like the guy, like MacGruber?
No, but that's MacGruber.
That's with the V,
yeah.
Right?
All right, yeah, MacGruber. You're right.
Yeah.
All right, you got me on that one. That's true. Didn't think about that one. There is a professional football player from Tampa Bay Buccaneers named Paul Gruber. Mm. There is a shark biologist named Samuel Gruber. You know, shout out to listeners of the show from the Deep Blue Sea podcast who love sharks. So there you go. Look up Samuel Gruber, who was born in 1938 and passed away in 2019. He was a shark biologist. There is a famous Austrian chess player named Theodor Gruber, and there is a inventor named Tom Gruber. Don't know what he invented, but yeah, interesting. And then there are fictional people named Gruber. Obviously, we have Hans Gruber. We have Lieutenant Hubert Gruber, who was on the British sitcom Allo Allo. On the torpedo man on the American TV show McHale's Navy was known as Lester Gruber.
Ah.
In the Paddington Bear series, there's a Mr. Gruber. Gaster's sidekick in Parappa the Rapper anime is named Gruber. Obviously, we'll talk about this in a few seasons from now, but Simon Gruber, you know, from who's Hans's brother from Die Hard with a Vengeance. Spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen that one yet. In the movie The Sound of Music, there's a character named Ralph Gruber. In Hogan's Heroes, there was a character named Fritz Gruber, who was one of the Germans. And the movie Reanimator had a character named Hans Gruber. Did you ever see Reanimator?
Bits and pieces, yeah. I've never seen it all the way through, but I'm aware of
well,
it.
Well, now you have to go back and listen and watch it again just to see, you know, where Hans Gruber. Who is Hans Gruber? Yeah, so, yeah, that's pretty much all the Grubers we got for today. And then the shot changes, and we now have a conversation between John and Al again. He goes, Al, do you copy? Are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. And he starts coughing. He goes, what was that? Remember that plastic explosive I told you about? Yeah, there you go. Is the building on fire? No, but it's going to need a paint job and a load of screen doors. So I love that line. I think that's one of Powell's best lines in the movie.
Yeah. Good delivery again.
And yeah, great delivery. It just it really flows when he says that. You know, and it makes me wonder, why is he asking if the building's on fire? Is he basically saying, do I got to get out of here?
I guess. I guess he just assumed an explosion would cause a fire, but I don't know.
Yeah, could be. And that's all I have for this minute. Do you have anything else?
The only thing I have is the part where he's like, did you get that? And he's like, I got it. Made me think of I was watching some like news bloopers, and it was clearly they were about to do like a controlled implosion of a building, and the news was going to watch it or, you know, film it. And just as it was like they were literally doing a countdown, and like a bus pulled right in front and stopped, and they're like, you could hear the cameraman like yelling at him, and then the explosion goes off, and he's swearing, of course, they're beeping it out because he's like, move that, you know, thing. And when I watched that, I laughed so hard. Like, it was probably one of the funniest things I've seen, because, you know, it wasn't done for comedy. It was just like the odds of this bus stopping right in front of this pre-positioned camera and the guy losing his mind because he missed the shot because this darn bus was in the way. It made me think of that one when he said, I got it. So that's all I had, though. Sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So the script has a few things that I wanted to mention. First of all, it mentions that after he says to the cameraman, did you get all that? And the cameraman says, yep. And then it says, Thornburg looks at his competitors still setting up. And then he says, eat your heart out, Channel 4. So the script originally said Channel 4, and they changed it to Channel 5, perhaps due to the reason that I mentioned earlier. Who knows the reason? And at this point, this is where it says Franco says to Hans about the artillery, you know, what we talked about yesterday. And then it gives us a shot of Holly, who is comforting Ginny, you know, her secretary. And then we have the conversation between McLean and Powell, and it goes a little differently because McLean goes, Al, the guys in the car, did they make it? And then it says Powell on the street watching as the survivors are pulled out of the wreck and to safety. Powell says, safe and sound, thanks to you. What the f*** was that? The plastique I found. And then he asks about if the building, it says worried, is the building on fire? And then his response is the same as in the movie. Nope, it's going to need one hell of a paint job and a load of screen doors. So, yeah, no, I like that. I like the fact that they show that McLean is concerned about the cops that were in the RV.
Yeah.
You know, that's his main motivation here. You know, it says a lot about the character. I understand why they cut it, but it's still, you know, it would show that he really is doing it not just to stop Hans, but also because he cares, unlike Robinson, who will say something but won't do any, you know, he won't act on it.
Right.
You know, that type of thing. All right, great. So every Wednesday we have a segment called Hans Hump Day, where my guests will give their top five Alan Rickman performances. So what have you got for us?
All right. Number five would be Dogma. And number four, Galaxy Quest. I forget the name, his character's name in that, but he's great as the put upon, like, I hate being Spock, but, you know, it's just great.
I hate being Spock, but I'll still be Spock.
Right, exactly. It's what I'm known for, but I hate it. I was really torn on these next two rankings, so I'm going to go with number three, him as the Sheriff of Nottingham in Robin Hood.
Okay.
I would say I probably know, I mean, I feel like, you know, Die Hard and that were some of his best villain roles, but I had to put Snape in from the Harry Potter movies as number two, and I'm sorry, I couldn't pick one Harry Potter movie where I'm like,
you gotta. I'm forcing you.
Oh, come on.
I'm forcing you.
All right. If you're forcing me, I will go, man, that's too bad because he's really good in some of the later films, but I'll just go with the first one then. He plays that, like, you think he's the bad guy, but he's not. You know, he hates him. He still hates him, but he's not really a bad guy.
Okay.
So, yeah, great. I'll go with the what is that called? The Philosopher's Stone.
Sorcerer's Stone.
Philosopher's Stone if you're in Europe. Yeah. And then, of course, Hans Gruber, Die Hard, number one. That's his best.
There you go. For sure.
I'll mention that I didn't rank, but I forgot he was the bad guy in Quigley Down Under, which is a great movie. But yeah, no, Die Hard's number one for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. All right. You want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with Brian Lockhart?
Yeah. I mean, I do the Hamilton Shot by Shot, which is at Hamilton Shot by Shot on Instagram, Marvel Events Timeline Pod on Instagram for that show, and Marine Corps Movie Minute is another show I've completed for, which is in the Movies by Minutes category, and it's just out there in podcast land if you want to look for it.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. Or you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.